The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. My goodness, the Seattle Times, they are just becoming one of the most rabidly anti-cop media outlets in our nation. And when you look at, you know, we talked about this a couple of hours ago. We have record murders. Maybe it was just last hour. We have record number of murders in our state. And it's all hand in hand with defunding the police, tying the hands of police. You're going to see innocent cops who are railroaded. You're going to see cops who are killed because they hesitate. You're going to see bad guys who are killed because you're going to have more inexperienced cops out there, because the ones who have the most experience, they're the ones who are saying, you know what, I don't need this anymore, and I'm not going to risk my future by policing in a state that is openly hostile to police officers. And so now the Seattle Times, trying to ensure that the Manny Ellis officers, that they get whatever the Seattle Times thinks they have coming, Masiya Ford and Timothy Rankin, they're the ones who, as you just heard in Aaron's newscast, they were under investigation not only for the death of Manny Ellis, but they had an incident 3 months prior where they, you know, dragged somebody downstairs, they said. Well, when you're dealing with the worst people in our society, sometimes it's not that lovely a process. If you've ever watched, you know, some of the great police reality shows like Cops, which they had to pull off the air because it showed cops in too positive a term. It showed what the cops really had to deal with, and the kind of garbage they have to go through, and that's not acceptable anymore in America. We can't have anything that counterbalances the stream of hatred that is spewed at cops. So now the Seattle Times, which is, you know, they continue to bring up years-old stories to try to continue to get cops put away. And I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. Not all cops are wondrous, but they certainly aren't all as bad as outlets like the Seattle Times would have you believe. And if you watched that memorial service for the Seattle police officer who died on I-5 a few weeks ago, Lexi Harris, if you saw the steady stream of men and women with whom she served on the Seattle police, if you heard just the passion, the vibrancy, where they are called to serve, and you hear how important it is for them to do the job the right way, and that's why they loved Lexi Harris so much, because she was committed to doing the job the right way. That's why Mike Solon from the Police Officers Guild on my show called her their department's Wonder Woman, because she went above and beyond. And if you listen to these cops who got up and spoke, and then you try to juxtapose that with the horrible stereotype that the Seattle Times is always pushing out there, that cops are evil killers. They wake up in the morning ready to go hunting. It's outrageous. But there is such an agenda. There is such a political, social, leftist, Marxist agenda that the Seattle Times embraces. And I've told you about some of the reporters who are on the cop beat at the Seattle Times. But it's very interesting that the Seattle Times is barely holding on by its fingernails as a business because of what's happening economically in our region and in their industry. And they still, from a so-called journalistic, but it's mainly from just a political, social outlook, They just want to embrace the socialist Marxist agenda. And part of it is tear down police departments as we know them and rebuild them in the Marxist image in which almost all criminals will walk free. And we've gone a long way toward achieving that goal. I'll tell you, if you're just joining us, the brand new news we had on the guy with an axe who broke into a Capitol Hill apartment. If you haven't heard the new news that we had exclusively a couple of hours ago, I'll do that again for you at 2:30 this afternoon. But we have a lot of really, sadly, bad people around here right now. We have drug addicts. We have the mentally ill that goes with being drug addicted. We have the gangs that are selling the drugs. We have the turf wars that have led to record murders. And this is what our police have to deal with. And the Seattle Times is determined to try to destroy as many individual cop lives as possible so that they can play a role in the continued destruction of our region. And yes, I truly believe that. I truly believe that there is such an insidious hatred of our region, a region that served the Bleffin family very well and made them generationally wealthy for, you know, been doing it for over 100 years here. And yet as a political, social viewpoint, Seattle Times just seems to hate this region now. And taking down police departments is a great way to exercise your hatred. So that's we'll keep an eye on this story as they continue to go after two Tacoma cops for another incident besides the Manny Ellis case that happened months before that. Okay, before I get to all our well, that was local there, but I got some other stuff I need to get to here, including over the weekend, your vice president, Kamala Harris. The more she speaks, the more people cannot stand her. And that is, it's not even a matter of opinion. That is an objective analysis. And all of the stats bear that out, that as she was getting more and more airtime on CNN and MSNBC when she was running for president, her Democratic polling numbers plummeted. People do not like Kamala Harris, the more she speaks. And understandably so. This weekend, Kamala Harris, she was explaining why we should not have voter ID. 80% of Americans think, including a majority of Democrats, believe that, yes, you should have to prove that you are who you say you are when you vote. There's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't have to do that. You have to when you rent a car, when you get a hotel room. Why not for this most sacred of ideals, and that is all of us having the right to vote, unless you've blown it with a felony. But Kamala Harris, this weekend, she explained that we cannot ask for people to show ID because all of those rural hicks, all of those people in flyover America who she despises, because the tiny, tiny, teensy-weensy appeal that Kamala Harris has is in New York and D.C. and L.A. It's on the coast. But in rural areas? You think there's anything about Kamala Harris that's relatable? And here's proof of why that is. Because she truly believes that people in rural areas are such hicks that they couldn't vote if we asked them to produce some ID.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are.
Okay, so Xerox? Welcome to 1995. I will have to copy my driver's license. I'm going to go Xerox it. Xerox or photocopy? Yeah, there's no other way to get a copy of your ID other than Xerox and photocopying. Gosh, where could we go to Xerox our ID?
A whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them.
Yes, of course. You go to Kinko's to Xerox your ID. Nicole, can you find where the nearest Kinko's is to me right now, please?
You know what? That actually went out of business a few years ago.
Yeah, but 20 years ago. Kinko's went bye-bye. Kamala, Office Max. There used to be an Office Max near me. There's not an Office Max near me. But that's where you have to go to Xerox your IDs. Hey, Kamala, I know you're the vice president of the United States, and you get all kinds of real high-level intelligence and security briefings and all of this. But let me let you in on a little secret. There are these devices that most people have, including the hicks in the rural areas who couldn't figure out how to copy their, how to Xerox their ID at Kinko's. She is so out of touch. But on your phone, there's a thing called a camera. You can take a picture of that, and then there's a thing called email. You can send yourself the picture. And there are all kinds of ways. If you don't have access to a Kinko's or an Office Max, there are all kinds of ways to Xerox your ID.
Wow, if even you knew the phone trick.
Of course. I got everything on my phone. But, and I mean, the people in rural areas, they often buy $800,000 worth of farm equipment that's very advanced, and she thinks that they can't learn how to replace Xeroxing something at Kinko's, and that's why we have to just take their word when they vote. And I love when we get audio like this. This illustrates just how unfathomably out of touch people like her are. Oh, I still have 18 seconds left that I haven't played.
People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are. But not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
What does any of that mean? Oh, man. Okay. So she says, of course, you have to proof who you are, but we can't make it impossible for them to proof who they are by forcing them to go to Xerox something at Kinko's. Your vice president of the United States. Let's see. And then, while Joe Biden just continues to, he takes a lot of naps.
Hey, Dory.
What?
So I actually have some brand new audio I've been trying to text you about, but if you just want to refresh, I have some brand new audio I think might even be better here, and then we'll do.
What? Wait a second. I'm reading my text here.
In the next
Jay Inslee just now on MSNBC? We just got this. Wait a second.
Yeah, go for it.
Should I play it right now? I'm just reading your description of it. Okay, we have breaking audio news here. Okay, the governor of Washington.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Jay Inslee. Nicole just found this. He just appeared on MSNBC. And I haven't even heard this, but just the description. He is teaching your children well, apparently.
You have been warning about the threat posed by climate change for years, decades, in fact. You wrote a book about it way back in 2007. How is it being felt? How is it showing up right now in Washington?
Time out. He wrote a book. What's the name of that book? Like Gabriel's Fire or something like that? What's the name of it? Do you remember?
Yes.
Do me a favor. Go to Amazon Books and see where whatever the name
Apollo's
of it is.
Fire. Apollo's what? Fire.
Apollo's Fire. We just Apollo's go to Amazon Fire. Books mm-hmm. and see where it ranks right now in sales. Apollo's Fire. It says that right when you pull up the name of the book. Okay. Anyway, so MSNBC is still introducing Jay Inslee as the bard, the bard of Olympia, who wrote a book in 2007. Ooh, it was quite a page-turner, as I recall. Okay, let's keep it. I still haven't heard the soundbite here.
You have been warning about the threat posed by climate change for years, decades, in fact. You wrote a book about it way back in 2007. How is it being felt? How is it showing up right now in Washington State? What are Washingtonians dealing with?
Well, I think the reality is we should not hide from it. We should face it. And the reality is we have a permanent emergency in my state, most of the Western United States, indeed the whole nation. And because of climate change, this is an absolute reality that we are now experiencing.
It's a lie. It's not an absolute reality. That is an absolute lie. A permanent emergency. Man, this guy, he got so drunk on emergency gubernatorial powers, and he puts the goober in gubernatorial. He has gotten so drunk on power in the last year and a half when he declared a COVID gubernatorial emergency that now he says we are in a permanent climate change emergency. Oh, what are we going to do about it, Governor?
And when you ask how are we feeling it, the thing that was most impressive to me in the last 2 weeks is we are feeling it in virtually everything in our lives. Today we're getting ready to teach our children how to stay inside because of the smoke from the forest fires. We lost billions of shellfish. Our oyster industry lost a good part of its crop. They're now rotting.
What? We're going to teach children to stay inside starting today?
I'm July 12th? Sure they've been doing that for the last year and a half, almost 2 years.
They've been inside for a year and a half. And Jay Inslee says starting today, we're going to teach our kids to stay inside because there's a wildfire up in British Columbia. Oh, I hope we can get them wearing masks again. It's been creepy for me to see all these unmasked faces the last couple of months here. We're teaching children to stay inside, according to the governor.
On our beaches, our glaciers are melting. Our highways right now have buckled because of the heat. And today, one of our major east-west corridors is closed because of a forest fire over the North Cascades. So the point about climate change is, you can run, but you cannot hide. It will find you in one aspect of your life. This demands a aggressive, robust action to build a clean energy economy. We're doing that. I just opened a new, did the groundbreaking for a new electric bus manufacturing plant Friday in Ferndale, Washington. We got a reconciliation package because of leadership of Joe Biden.
No.
So it's time to act right now.
Oh, my goodness. Everything in there is a lie. Climate change had nothing to do with the heat dome. Cliff Maps came on, explained that was a incredible series of or confluence of events that had nothing to do with climate change. And then he says, well, climate change is why we have a forest fire. Really, we've had forest fires every year in our state for centuries, ever since we became a state. Why did we have forest fires 100 years ago, Governor? Well, we didn't have internal combustion engines changing the climate of the planet. Everything in that is a lie. But we just found that out. This is the breaking news that we're just getting in this hour. Keep your children inside for a few more months. We let them free too early and get them... Get them on an iPad. Don't let them socialize with friends. Certainly do not let them play baseball or soccer outside. Because those poor kids, I mean, they just want to go swimming down at the old swimming hole. But Jay Inslee doesn't want that to happen right now. So he's starting today, he's teaching kids in our state to stay inside. You know what? I want to be a nice counterbalance to our governor. Hey, kids, if parents are listening right now and your kids are nearby, call them over to the radio. We'll have a little fireside chat. No pun intended. Kids, go play outside. Ignore what the governor says. If you have asthma, then you might have to take some cautions. But if you're a healthy kid, go play outside. Ignore Jay Inslee. Ignore this control. Don't let other people control your life. In fact, don't let me control your life. If you don't want to play outside, don't play outside. But don't stay inside because Jay Inslee says to. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we just got this. I'm going to have to break down this audio some more after we check the news for you. It's making my head hurt. Okay, that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, Jay. Sending the show careening on a path I never knew we were going to take today. We'll check the news, and then we'll continue with our breaking news coverage. Kids, stay indoors. Managed it for the last 18 months. You can do it for the next 10 years. Lots more to come here in the Dory Monson Show. Well, we're following some breaking news this afternoon here on the Dory Monson Show. As Governor Jay Inslee, he just went on MSNBC and said that starting today, he's going to teach kids in our state to stay inside. Been inside for the last year and a half. If you're just joining us, here's why the governor is doing this.
You have been warning about the threat posed by climate change for years, decades, in fact. You wrote a book about it way back in 2007.
Yeah, his book. Can we stop talking about his book, Apollo's Fire? We just checked on Amazon.com. Apollo's Fire, among books, is ranked 1,372,542 among books. So it's not exactly a runaway bestseller.
How is it being felt? How is it showing up right now in Washington State? What are Washingtonians dealing with?
Well, I think the reality is we should not hide from it. We should face it. And the reality is we have a permanent emergency in my state, most of the Western United States, indeed the whole nation. And because of climate change, this is an absolute reality that we are now experiencing.
Good grief. Do I have to give the numbers again? Do I have to prove constantly what a lie this is? The state of Washington is responsible for roughly 1/50th of 1% of global climate emissions, which statistically means the state of Washington does nothing to impact global climate, any man impact on climate change. Zero. Statistically zero. Jay Inslee wants billions and billions and billions of dollars for a zero return to the environment. That is a fact. That is not an opinion. That is not me just trying to counterbalance whatever Jay Inslee says. The state of Washington, if you believe that man's role in climate change is as significant as he says, and then the state of Washington is responsible for 1/50th of 1% of climate emissions, so we could roll it back to zero, and it would do nothing for the planet. But he wants to charge us billions of dollars. But let's get back to the kids now.
And when you ask how are we feeling it, the thing that was most impressive to me in the last 2 weeks is we are feeling it in virtually everything in our lives. Today we're getting ready to teach our children how to stay inside because of the smoke from the forest fires.
Today we're teaching children to stay inside. The children who have been cooped up inside for the last year and a half. Let's get them wearing how many masks are they going to wear inside, Governor? 2, 3? 5? How many masks would you recommend? Now, when we have a lot of smoke from the forest fires, do I have to go get some shower curtains at Home Depot if I want to, you know, lay with my wife? I mean, here's what I want to know. Is the smoke more dangerous than the coronavirus? because our air, of course, was so poisoned by coronavirus, we had to keep kids indoors for the last 18 months. So I just want to know, is the smoke going to be even worse than that? Because it'll get through the masks and the shower curtains.
We lost billions of shellfish. Our oyster industry lost a good part of its crop. They're now rotting on our beaches. Our glaciers are melting. Our highways right now have buckled because of the heat. And today, one of our major east-west corridors is closed because of a forest fire over the North Cascades.
Yeah, we have forest fires every single year. In fact, you know, I talked to Cliff Mass about this the last time they were touting the forest fires as a huge issue here.
And we did that on a massive scale. We really lowered the number of fires. But that had a very unfortunate effect. We completely changed our forests, and they've become much more dense. They have all kinds of scrubby little trees underneath, and the remains of past logging and whatever. And so our forests now are much more prone to burn and burn catastrophically. So we've changed the forest, but that's not climate change. That's how we've managed or mismanaged the forests.
Absolutely right. That's 100% right. Here's the other thing. I wonder if he's going to bring back his country boy, Jay Inslee. Remember that a couple of years ago when he was talking about the forest fires and the kids going to the swimming hole? And Jay Inslee suddenly started dropping the G off the ends of words so he could sound more country, more down home, more Jay-ish.
And when you got pools shut down, when kids can't go swimming, and a president trying to get them to have to breathe more coal smoke, that just is unacceptable. Our kids can't go out and go swimming, for goodness sakes. Pools are closed down in Wenatchee and the Tri-City because no one with half a brain would say something that tweetless.
Tweetless. So I hope he starts dropping the G's again to prove how down-home serious he is about all of this. Because kids can't go swimming. You know, for goodness sake, they're shutting down the old swimming hole. Yeah, going to go trout fishing up at the pond. I wonder if we can get Otis to sober up long enough to go to the old fishing hole with us. Huh? Think we can get maybe Howard Sprague? Let's get Howard Sprague, Goober. I think Goober and Gomer are available. Let's get them up to the little swimming hole. And then when you get real nice and hot from catching all them fish, they can just peel off your shirt and jump into the fishing hole. Oh, my goodness. Cools you off right away. Cools you right down. Love to go fishing with bare-naked women, swim between their legs. No, it's bow-legged women. Ah, that's from MASH. That's Sherman T. Potter. Forget it. That's not Jay Inslee. Okay, I got to take a quick time out, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day as we continue this breaking news coverage. Children must stay inside. Jay Inslee is going to teach them how to do so. We'll continue to pass along the governor's suggestions here on the Dory Monson Show. Dory Monson Show's awesome audio is brought to you by Davis Law Group. Visit hiringagreatlawyer.com. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Thanks to Jay Inslee for giving us that little rocket boost this last half hour. Getting lots of text messages about all of this. And it's clear to so many of you that Jay Inslee is just sick, that he's about to lose this executive power that he had for COVID, and now he's declared a permanent climate emergency in our state, which is just 100% nonsense. And so I appreciate all the feedback that I'm getting from you. You can keep texting us. We're checking them all out at 98973. That's 98973 if you want to text us. And with that as mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Okay, man, there's been so much. It's CNN. They have a medical contributor, this is an example. Dr. Liana Wen is her name. And this is an example of how drunk with power people are in politics, in the media, how they want to control your life. Now, I got the vaccine. My wife got the vaccine. I don't care if you get the vaccine. It's your choice. It's your body, your choice. But politicians think that you need to be made very uncomfortable if you choose to not get the vaccine. In fact, even if you've had COVID and you have the antibodies, they want to make your life miserable if you still choose to not get the vaccine. Listen to CNN's medical contributor and what she wants to do to your life if you've made the choice to not get the vaccine.
So now we have this Delta variant that is much more contagious. Because it's more contagious, it's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity. We're going to have to vaccinate an even higher proportion of people to get there. What happens then if we end up having another variant developing that's even more contagious, that could cause more disease, that could evade the protection of our immune system? And so how quickly we get this under control and which way we go depends on what we do now when it comes to vaccination, to overcoming disinformation. And what we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated.
Think about that. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Government should make your life miserable. And you tell me if there's an 18, 19, 20-year-old healthy person that has zero reason to get vaccinated, why the government should make their life hard, according to CNN's medical expert.
Right now, it's kind of the opposite. It's fine. I mean, it's easy if you're unvaccinated. You can do everything you wanted to do anyway. But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out. But if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. That is what it's going to take for us to actually end the pandemic.
Unbelievable. 18, 20, 24 years old, healthy, you choose to not get vaccinated because there is no reason for a young, healthy person to get vaccinated. And she says, we want you to have to get tested twice a week. How are you going to do that? How are you going to pay for that? How are you going to drag people who don't want the vaccine? How are you going to drag them in to get tested twice a week? This is the kind of cult-like mentality that is coming out of everything that we're dealing with right now. Also, in our awesome audio, we talked on Friday's show about how several countries are considering banning your ability to boil a live lobster. And our weekend editor, Catherine Fetter, she talked to some local restaurateur about whether that makes sense.
Bill Raniger, executive chef of Duke Seafood in Washington, had some profound thoughts on the topic as well.
There's a lot of stone crab on menus, but never heard of a stoned crab.
And I should explain here, in the Chicago Tribune, they said one way to be more humane about boiling lobsters is to first get them high on marijuana, and then they won't care that they're being boiled alive.
Being on a menu, I think it's perfect for Washington State. Marijuana is legal. Crab pots are fully crab. Why shouldn't we share a toke or even a joint be going into the hot tub of flavor?
When asked about a more humane way to boil lobsters,
here's a chef's tip. Get gallons of water to a rolling boil, add some fresh lemon and Old Bay seasoning, and drop your crustaceans head first into the stock. Tell them it's a hot tub party. They're stoned. They'll believe it. Could be the best seafood boil ever.
He highly recommends it.
And then also Donald Trump back in the news this weekend while Joe Biden is still pretty much a non-entity, even as president. Donald Trump, he spoke at CPAC, and then he went to the Conor McGregor UFC fight and the entire arena. They didn't know that Trump was going to be escorted to ringside, and the entire arena starts chanting USA. And ESPN, which was covering the fight, they didn't even mention it because ESPN has become such a radical leftist organization. But the former president, Donald Trump, he's going after Biden. We still don't know if he's going to run in 24, but he's going after Biden.
Republicans must never waver in demanding that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Can't let it happen. Thank you. Thank you very much. But it's not only the Second Amendment that the leftists want to destroy. They are hard at work to abolish the First Amendment as well. Probably all amendments when you get right down to it. Why not? The radical left and big tech's attack on free speech is unlawful. It's unconstitutional. And it is completely un-American.
Yeah, big tech, that is a factor. All right, I got to get out of here. We had so much stuff flying at us this afternoon. But Tom and Curly Show's coming up next, and we will put together a fantastic Tuesday broadcast for you. I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. God bless you in these crazy times. 8-0.